Welcome to Phenomenal Woman. I'm your host, Janice Sutherland. Join me as we share the success strategies of phenomenal women achieving extraordinary success around the globe. From the good, the bad, the ugly, and everything in between, this is Real Talk by Real Women. We share with you the highs and lows of their journey and give you honest insight on how you can navigate same with confidence, integrity, and gain a little inspiration. As a leadership strategist, executive coach, and business consultant, I have the pleasure of working with organizations and individuals, helping them to turn their goals into success. This week, I'm in conversation with Gail Withers. Born in the beautiful island of Barbados in the Caribbean, Gail discovered a love for words and creative writing at an early age. Both these skills have served her well over the past 30 years. Through hard work and dedicated commitment, she's advanced from executive assistant to executive manager. Today, Gail is a retail programs manager, responsible for customer training, program development and facilitation across more than 20 countries. And in her spare time, if she has any, Gail blogs and writes poetry and short stories, for which she's received several national awards. She recently became co-author for the Success University for Women series of books. So Gail, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm delighted to have you on Phenomenal Woman this week. Now, I would have done a very short introduction about yourself at the top of the program, but can you tell our listeners, a little bit more about yourself and your background, your humble beginnings?
So thanks for having me, Janice. I was born and raised in Barbados of Barbadian parents. I am married and divorced. Have one son. He's studying physical therapy at Mona University in Jamaica. Okay. In my spare time, the little that I do have, I'm a creative writer, storyteller, and I've won lots of national literary arts awards. So it's a nice mix of West Indian.
Yeah. So in your writing, typically, what do you write about? I'm intrigued because I'm trying to embark on the writing piece. So I can't say I'm struggling, but I'm always intrigued to know, how do people go through that creative process?
So the creative process for me, what comes easy is inspirational writing. So I have a blog, and then I have a newsletter. It goes out every Monday, and so it's a Bible verse and how you apply it to your life, but based on my life experience. And as something happens, you say, you know what, I'm struggling with this. Maybe somebody else is doing as well. I'll put some words together. It's very short. And I think it was getting into the routine. You have to do it every Monday. You don't know who's depending on it. You know, you don't know what somebody's going through, and they really need to have a word in time. And okay, I think that really helped me to make it, you know, it's a discipline. Writing is a discipline.
Yes.
The storytelling and the poetry and stuff that comes out of that. So that came afterwards in our national competitions. They're normally run every year. So you just, you know, pull from stuff. But I love writing, and then you try to hone your skill as well. But the inspiration comes from within.
Okay.
And is expressing what is within and hoping that you can help somebody else on their journey as well.
Excellent, excellent.
And I can help you if you need help.
Thank you. I'll take you up on that. So watch yourself. So you talked about, obviously, the creative writing in your spare time. So what do you do as a career, Gail?
As a career, I am a training facilitator. Our focus is on customer service mainly.
Yes.
And what flows out of customer service. Because, you know, it's not just about serving your customers. We focus a lot on the people.
Yes.
Right now, our training surrounds topics like leadership, team building, communication. We do a lot of relationship strengthening kind of activities.
Yeah.
And the program at my office, it revolves around what we call key performance indicators, KPIs.
Yes.
So
yes,
you have these things that we measure, and the customer service training and the related topics support the KPIs. So it's a lot of measuring and making sure people are incentivized as well as motivated to do what they're supposed to do. And motivation, as you know, is the hardest part.
Right.
Coming up with the program is easy. Getting people to do what they're supposed to do is normally the harder part.
So just looking at that, you're talking about obviously keeping people motivated. What are your key motivators for your career choice?
Okay, so you know, I'm going to say what everybody thinks, but they're afraid to say, of course, your motivation is money. You have bills to pay. And if you can marry, you know, finding something to do that pays your bills that you love, well, you're way, way ahead of the game. Lucky for me, I like meeting people. I like talking. I like going, you know, above and beyond. How can I do this differently? How can I really help this person? What are they thinking? You know, what are they thinking? So motivation, that's it. But the burn, sometimes, yes. So I have this bill to pay, so I need to keep this job.
I and hear
people,
that.
People say that. People think it, but they don't want to say it. Yeah. I'm going to put it out there.
Yeah. So Gail, what's been the most satisfying challenge you've had to overcome throughout your career?
I think the most satisfying challenge is, the, you know, being assigned a role.
Yeah.
And not feeling comfortable in it. Not knowing, do I have the skill? Can I really execute on this task?
Yeah.
And especially if you don't have the confidence, I think that was the most challenging thing. Right. In terms of a real life example, I had left my previous job as an admin assistant and I was thrown into the event planning role.
Right.
I planned events, yes, but informally. But this manager felt that I could do a good job. And as soon as I entered the new company, I had to go overseas and take a contingency of people with me and manage like a trade show kind of concept.
Wow.
And I thought I was going to have a nervous breakdown. But, you know, people try to encourage you to think outside of your comfort zone and to let you know you can do it. And it was hard.
Yeah.
But I really learned from the experience and, you know, it not to be so hard on yourself.
So
that was my biggest challenge.
So what were the steps you would have gone through or the key steps you would have gone through to kind of get you through that? Because I think it's obviously pretty daunting. It's pretty daunting early on to, you know, as you said, you come into a new role and all of a sudden you're given this great responsibility. So what were the steps you went through to kind of get you through to the other end?
So the steps I would have taken, the first step is to consciously remember that people are not mind readers. We really hope that they can read our minds, but they can't.
Yeah.
So you just tell people, in reality, I'm new to this. So yes, I'm going with you. I'm in charge, but I might need your support. And I'll be calling on you to help me, you know, and to hold my hand until I get a little better. And that's what we did. You get as much information, historical information on past trade shows as you can, and you really learn it.
Yeah.
We had on the ground support. So I worked a lot with that, you know, event coordinator to let her know, okay, I'm not really familiar, but I'm going to do the best that I can. So you try to let people know you're not superwoman.
Yes.
It's easy to be a superwoman or to make people think you're a superwoman, but really and truly half the time, you know, you're not.
Yeah, because I've often said, so what I'm hearing is that, you know, you recognize there's a weakness in your skill set. So instead of trying to hide it or mask it, you ask for help.
Because
I always say the biggest sign of strength is people asking for help. It's not a sign of weakness. You know, it's a big strength, knowing where, you know, you need some support or some help to move forward. Yeah. So that's great.
But I have found that it's a taboo. Easier to hide it, or the norm to hide it, rather than ask people to help. Because we don't want people to know we're deficient in an area.
Yes, very much, very much. And you talked about confidence and just trying to be confident in the role. Has there been a time when you've confronted a challenge where it's gone wrong, you know, and it's really not your confidence? How do you cope with those kind of situations?
Well, when you come across a situation, as I tell people, in event planning, if something happens and, you know, you're not prepared, the best thing to do is to go to the restroom and you don't come out until the event is finished. But I mean, I guess that's not really, you know, good advice that you should give people. But in terms of managing something that has gone wrong, I think the key is to keep calm and not panic. In my other life, I would panic. The first thing you would do is, how am I going to manage this? Who's going to help me? Everything is going wrong.
Yeah.
It's much more productive if you can step back. Okay, so this is happening. What are the solutions? Who's going to help me execute on the solutions? what was the best way to move forward. Okay, team, let's come together if you have a team.
Yes.
That really works. And to acknowledge sometimes things happen and you have totally, there's no control.
Right.
Things, you know, the electricity can go off, you know, a flight can be delayed, you might have overbooked a hotel, you know, you schedule training and instead of 60 people, only 10 turn up. It's life.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You have to be flexible and to keep calm, do a lot of deep breathing. And especially if you have a team of millennials,
right,
you know, the younger people who are looking to you to lead by example, that's how you show them, you know, it can be done.
Right, right. And the millennials are very topical right now. And I know, Gail, I hope you don't mind me saying, you've actually co-authored a book based around millennials. What mm-hmm. do you find has been the biggest challenges with working with, I suppose, dare I say it, the younger employees?
The younger employees have a totally different mindset to the more mature, I'm not going to say it older.
More mature employee.
We, because I'm a more mature employee, we are very focused on loyalty, commitment, dedication. We'll work the overtime willingly.
Yes.
The millennials, they are more focused on life balance. My job is just to get me to my next point. It's not my entire life. And if I have to quit at 4:30, I will quit because I have stuff to do after 4:30.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And they're very interested in ticking boxes off. So if they have 10 things to do, it's all about how quickly can I get these 10 things done, even if quality is sacrificed. You know, so they might not take the time to reread an email or think the steps through totally because it's all about quantity. Rather than quality. Of course, the good thing about them is that they're very technologically savvy. I tell people, I would love to say I know what's going on. I don't know what's going on. So if you know how to get it done, just make sure, you know, that you remember that everybody may not be as technologically savvy as you are. Because they can tend to be insular.
Yes.
But it's an experience. And you need to remember there are always two people and you can always learn from the other person because you don't know everything. They can learn from you just as you can learn from them. But it's a process. You have to take a lot of vitamins and hope
that and just keep up.
Yeah, vitamins and Advil.
So flicking back to your career, Gail, what has been your biggest career triumph to date?
My biggest career triumph was creating the short motivate videos to bring some of our teams together.
Right.
And you know, you'd think that's not a big deal. We just highlighted the company and we included some fun stuff. And in one case, one of the movies, we produced some DVDs and we sold like 40 plus DVDs. The staff were so engaged that they just purchased them.
Okay.
And I thought that was interesting. It really showed that people appreciated the effort that had gone into what we thought, you know, maybe was something that may not have been as influential as it did in bringing people together. Right. I think that was a very satisfying moment.
Excellent, excellent. And if you could go back, and I know we talk about we're the mature crowd, but if you could go back and change one thing, Gail, what would it be and why?
If I could go back and change one thing, and I don't know how many of our listeners can relate, I would listen more and talk less.
Right.
You know, because as you start out your career and you have stuff happening, it is very, very easy to share your concerns or things that are not going right with your coworkers or your family or your friends. I know we talk and we embellish and we like to complain and whine a lot.
Yes.
But a lot of the time, we don't think of going directly to the source. And that's what I mean. I would listen more and talk less, but I would go to the source. So instead of complaining to all of my friends or coworkers, and you know, things get lost in translation.
I
would be a big girl and step up and go to the manager or my supervisor or whatever and say, listen, this is what I'm struggling with, or this is what you did. I didn't appreciate it, or I'm not sure, rather than complain.
Right.
On the sidelines.
I think
my life would have been a lot easier and I might have been respected a little more. You know, it's easy to say this now. Hindsight is 2020 vision.
Yeah.
But And as a West Indian, I think a lot of us do that. We rarely go to the source unless the burn is so bad we have no other choice. Yeah. We will complain, and you know, we love telling stories and we get very animated and how could they do that and I would do this, and but we never go to the source. And a lot of the time, the sources they don't even know that people are struggling or that they're doing something that is affecting somebody in this manner. So that I think is my biggest lesson.
Yeah,
and that is my one takeaway. If I wanted your listeners to take away something from today, would be that.
Yeah.
Always, and that's why I said about mind readers. People can't read our minds. Neither can we read theirs. Communication. Communication. It is all about communication.
Yeah. That's an interesting thought. That's an interesting thought, Gail. What do you think stops us from going to the source or asking those questions?
I think we are cowards.
Yeah.
You know, you'd have to put on the pants and be brave, because you don't know how the conversation is going to go.
Yeah.
And people tend not to like to be criticized, for lack of a better way of describing it.
Right.
And it's easier to complain on the sidelines.
Yeah.
And I guess too, it could be how we're taught. Like, we were not really taught, okay, if you have an issue, you need to go and speak to your supervisor rather than complaining. I think the norm in our culture,
yeah,
so many people do it, is that well, let's just complain on the side.
Yeah.
And then the other mentality we have, or even if I go, it's not going to change anything. He doesn't care, she doesn't care.
Right.
So I'm just going to complain.
Yeah.
But nothing changes unless we change.
Yeah. And I think one of the things we need to be mindful of is if we are unhappy with the situation and we're going to address it, is don't come with the problem. Actually have some ideas, solutions, because often, you know, as maybe an employer or a manager, we don't see the challenge, and often for us, we just want the challenge to be addressed, not necessarily have the problem. So in my experience, it's always helped if someone's come to me with a concern, or and I openly welcome people to come to me and say, look, I'm not happy about this, or I've got concerns about this. But don't just come to me with, I'm going to moan about it or whine about it. Tell me what you think we need to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and let's have a grown up, as you said, a big girl conversation.
Big girl
conversation about how we can actually make this work for both of us. Because bottom line is, that's all we want. We want us both to be happy.
Yes, and that's why it's so important too that we remember now the younger generation coming up, they need to be trained in this area and to understand how important communication really is.
Very much. So talking of communication, Gail, has there been a time where you've been assertive or confident and people think that you are bossy? How do
every
you deal
day,
with this?
Janice, every day. I try to consciously take a step back.
Yeah.
And let the other person, let them share, let them speak more.
Yeah.
Rather than, I can be forceful and I can be overly assertive.
Yes.
So I have to consciously remember, okay, let me just take a step back. You know, there are other people, they have other opinions. Somebody might even have a different way that might be better than my way.
Yeah.
So, and this comes from encouraging feedback, asking people to give you feedback on yourself.
Yeah.
That is a very hard thing. And you need to be brave, because you might not like to hear the answer. So this year, I tried to do more of that. And it has been a learning experience.
Right.
And I encourage my team, you need to be as honest as you can. I'll be honest with you, so you be honest with me. And that's how I've learned. Somebody actually said, when something happens, if it's bad and big enough, I panic, you know, and I go off.
Yeah.
And she said, I said, you're so calm. There's no sense of urgency. We need to solve these issues. And she said, yeah, but two people panicking makes no sense. You panic, I'm going to come up with a solution. I mean, we laughed, but I know she meant it seriously. So I have to learn from her feedback that really and truly she's right. Two people panicking, or one person being bossy and throwing their ideas around is not usually, it might not be the best way.
And you describe yourself as overly assertive. Is that your description?
That is my description, because in the past, I was very wimpy and quiet. I couldn't represent myself.
Right.
So nobody knew how I felt or, you know, where I wanted to go, what I wanted to do.
Yes.
And I had to learn to be able to express myself in a way and stand up for myself so people will know. And it all goes back to, as I said earlier, the mind reading. We tend to assume people know, but in all honesty, they don't know.
Right.
So, you know, it's learning the hard way. If you don't say, they're not going to know.
Okay. It's interesting. So, So Gail, as again, you said you're an author and you write, but what has been a book that has influenced you through your career journey?
A book that has influenced me, I would say Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People.
I've had that before. Yes.
I mean, we can talk all day on that, but the one true lesson, especially for a woman in business, is the value of putting first things first.
Right.
We tend to put everybody and everything before us.
Yes.
And we really need to remember, if you put first things first, everything else will fall into place. It may not seem so in the middle of a crisis.
Yeah.
But you really need to put first things first. That's the biggest lesson from that book.
Okay. And do you have an example of where you've done that, or could share with us an example?
An example of putting first would be family.
Right.
There's nothing like family.
Yes.
And I know that it may still seem that a woman can have it all.
Right.
I'm not sure she can have it all, because once you start to have children, you're going to have to choose between your career and working until midnight and coming home to your baby or your son.
Yes.
Sorry, I say son because I have a son. So that's what I mean. It's like, sometimes it's hard. It's hard to decide. But you have to decide. And I think family should be first. Well, after God, of course, but family.
So, Gail, thank you for that. What would be the advice you'd give your teenage self now, looking back?
So looking back, if I had to have a conversation with my teenage self, I would suggest doing as much studying as I could earlier rather than later. Because what I did when I left school, I decided to work.
Yes.
Because I was afraid I wouldn't be able to get a job. So I got a job and studied while working. And it was very hard. It was tough.
Yeah.
I think it's easier to focus on the studying all at once and then go into the workforce full time.
Okay. And if you could choose your own mentor, who would it be and why?
Oh, of course, my mentor. I have 2 mentors, Oprah Winfrey, of course.
Okay.
One, because of her determination to be successful in spite of the odds. I mean, she was going to make it, and she did. And Shonda Rhimes.
Right, okay,
yes. Success and creativity as a writer. And I would love to meet them both in this life, but I don't know if that's going to work out. But
Shonda
is very, very creative.
She is, as you know, from her shows.
And her imagination is just wild. So,
excellent. And I could see it probably appeal to your creative side, thinking about it, because as you said, she's, you know, very creative with her concepts and who she is. I'm just about to read her book. Just picked it up. Is it The Year of Saying Yes?
Yes, The Year of Saying Yes. And it was very good. So you need to make sure that you get it.
Yes, definitely. I have it. I just need to make time to read it. So that will happen. That will happen shortly. So, Gail, we're coming down to the last few questions. What would you say are the 3 things you've learned about yourself during your career?
Okay, that's a hard question. I would say the 3 things.
Yes.
I have learned is, 1, being a wimp does not a battle win. Nobody takes wimps on.
Yeah.
And I would say I'm not stubborn necessarily, but I'm better at standing my ground.
Okay.
Especially things that I feel strongly about, like displaying fairness and transparency, you know, because we can agree to disagree.
Yes.
And, I've learned too that my points, if I have to make a point, it must be tabled as having been raised. You know, people say, oh, did you say that? I don't remember you saying that.
Yeah.
Oh no, I didn't. That is not what you meant. I've had a lot of conversations where you say, you know what, you should have insisted that these points were tabled, because I believe in representing people fairly.
Right.
And sometimes the only way you can represent somebody is by making sure there's some proof in black and white of what you said.
Okay. You talked about not being a wimp. How would you describe a wimp? You know, why that comment?
Because a wimp is somebody who they can't stand up for themselves. They're cowards. You know, instead of facing something head on, they would rather run away.
Right.
Or hide behind others rather than stepping up to the plate.
Yeah.
And you can do that, but that's not sustainable. It's
right.
not sustainable, especially not in business, not if you're serious about your career and your life.
Yeah. So to get out of wimp mode, what steps did you take, I suppose, for want of a better word, to toughen up?
I had a manager who made sure that being a wimp was not going to be my career choice. And, you know, it was a lot of coaching and mentoring. And I think you need somebody like that. Somebody who can look at this person and see, oh, there's lots of good raw material here. It just needs a little fine tuning. I'm going to help her, even though she might think she's the best thing that happened to the world. I think her guidance helped me a lot.
Yeah, it's just having someone seeing your potential.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think as you're working the millennials as well, as you said, and I think us as the mature crowd, we almost have to pay that forward and actually see the potential in some of the younger persons and how we develop mm-hmm. that, how we develop those and advocate for those.
Yeah, agreed.
So, Gail, what would you say your imperfections? And how do you embrace them?
My biggest imperfection is that I'm a perfectionist.
Okay.
You know, there's usually one way and it's my way. So sometimes it's hard not to find flaws.
Yes.
But, you know, and as you get older, you have to learn to live and let go and not be so rigid. You know, it can happen. It doesn't have, all of my ducks don't need to be lined up. They just need to be all ducks, but yes.
Right, right.
Perfectionists, we don't always happen. To, you know, see things as other people.
Yes.
And being a perfectionist is that easy? It's not. Because life is not perfect.
Right.
Not perfect.
Right.
Not when you're dealing with people.
Right. And I guess that's a big challenge for you in your role, because being event management, things have to be or perceived to be perfect for the guests mm-hmm. or the people coming to the event itself. So it's a good dichotomy for you to have, just to mm-hmm. kind of balance that all the way through.
Yeah.
So
even in dealing with people, it's
Sorry. So what would be your three keys of advice for maintaining work life balance and making sure you don't burn the candle at both ends, Gail?
The first thing I would say is find time for you.
Right.
Your physical and emotional well-being are both important, and you need to recognize that. Coming out of that, which would be my second thing, would be know when to say no.
Right.
Because the answer to everything just
Very
cannot
much.
Be yes. And as women, we normally say yes, of course, sure. And then we go home and say no, really, how am I going to get that to work?
Yeah.
And number three, always be honest, not only with yourself, but with others.
Yeah,
because honesty, it really is the best policy.
Yes.
You know, and lying is too hard on your memory. You don't remember, especially as you get older. What did I say? Oh, it's not the truth. Yeah.
Yeah. So you talked about not being able to say no and not say yes. And it's a thing a lot of women struggle with. So what would be your advice to women who look at this? Look, I just can't say no. I just can't do that. What would be your advice to those women?
My advice would be if there's a situation and the answer to whatever you're being asked to do, it has to be yes.
Yeah.
You need to manage people's expectations by letting them know, okay, I'm saying yes, but these are the parameters that my yes is going to be operating under. So, you know, in my case, I'm saying yes, but I'm doing a lot of traveling, which is a lot of my story. I do a lot of traveling for my job. So you might not be able to reach me. I might have limited internet access. I might not be able to come to your meetings, but I'm committed.
Yes.
So, you know, you're not saying no, you're saying yes, but there are limitations on your yes. You just need to be upfront.
Excellent.
So that people know, so they're not disappointed in you.
Excellent, excellent. And what would be your definition of success, Gail?
My definition. So Janice, is there really a definition of success? But I shouldn't ask you a question, should I?
Okay, don't put me in the hot seat.
So success is really, it's a constant work in progress. I don't think there's any one specific definition per se.
Yeah.
So for me, right now, it involves getting to that perfect peace with your life, you know,
yes,
accepting where you are on your life journey, what you've done to achieve what you have. So, you know, it's not about the size of a bank account, the size of a house or a car, beating yourself up because it could have been different. It should have been different. Yeah. Is acceptance. I'm at peace. That's success. I'm happy with where I am. Life is good. May not be perfect, yeah, but is good. That, I think that's success.
Excellent. Excellent. And lastly, Gail, I'll take you out the hot seat. What does it mean to you to be your own hero?
So being my own hero, that means it for me right now, it means keeping promises to myself.
Okay.
And I say excellent. That because as a woman, we tend to compromise and put ourselves last.
Very much.
So I have had to actively make an effort to draw the proverbial line in the sand to make yeah. sure, you know, I look after me first.
Yeah.
Because you look after yourself first and then you can in turn look after others.
Right, right. And has it been challenging doing that?
Of course, of course. Women are normally caregivers. We look after everybody.
Yeah.
If we can remember to look after us, well, yeah, somewhere in between we do.
Yeah.
But you need to keep promises to yourself. So if you say this year I'm focusing on doing some extra studying or I'm going to go to the gym more and then something happens, you know, we tend to say, oh, it's just me. It's okay.
Yeah.
Whatever else this person needs is more important than what I need. But
yeah.
no, it's not. You have to actively say, no, I need to keep this promise.
Yeah.
To me, because I am important to me.
Yeah, yeah. So it is about putting ourselves first, because as you said, caregivers and, you know, managing the family, if we go down, you know, what mm-hmm. happens to what happens to the infrastructure around us? So I'm a big supporter of what you're saying there, Gail. Big supporter.
Mm-hmm.
So Gail, that was my last question. Is there anything, if you know, as I said, I know you've been writing, you've been co-authoring a book and writing, if people want to read more of what you do, your blogs, how can they get in touch with you?
Yes, so my blog is, you can find me at www.gailwithers.wordpress.com. The book is called Success University for Women in Leadership. It's 20 fabulous women. Each person contributed a chapter.
Yes.
My chapter, of course, I wrote about working with millennials and how you can lead them.
Right.
It's a really good book. And I would encourage all women to go and get it. It's also good for males. I've found that males have been struggling
right.
with leading others as well.
Okay. Okay, well, that's fantastic. So there. That, without further ado, Gail, that's where I can put you out of your misery and stop interviewing. thank you so much for your time this
morning. Was it okay?
Did
I talk too much?
No. It's great.
Okay.
Well, that was a great interview with Gail Weathers, and I hope you enjoyed that. Now, if you want to read a little bit more about what she does, you can go to her blog, which is www.gailwordpress.com. But I will leave a link to that in the show notes. And if you want to get hold of the book she spoke about, The Success University for Women, it's available on Amazon in Kindle and paperback. And again, I'll leave a link in the show notes for that. And just a reminder, if you haven't done so already, to make sure you listen out for the newest addition to the Phenomenal Woman series, Real Talk. This is a time where we get a chance to tackle those subjects that are raised by the successful women we talk to in more depth, such as confidence building, such as understanding how to maintain motivation and building resilience. If you haven't done so already, head over to my Facebook page, I Am Janice Sutherland, to join the current Confidence Booster Challenge that will give you hints and tips on how to increase your confidence and become a more confident, phenomenal woman. Hope to see you there. It's my pleasure, as always, to show up here every week and connect with like-minded women who want to live their life to its fullest and be empowered to take their career to the next level. I do hope you enjoyed this edition of Phenomenal Woman. And if you like what you heard, make sure you share with the phenomenal women that you know. You can connect with me via janicesutherland.com and on all social media platforms. Links are in the show notes. Remember, you are the author of your own story, you control the narrative, and you have the power to give your life story a happy ending, so own it. Until next time.